integrated the school at that time?
It was, I can't exactly remember, but I'm saying it was just the high school students, and it was probably 45 to 50, maybe more, because it was grades 9 through 12.
Well, how did the community as a whole feel about integration? Were there any disturbances?
There was no disturbance whatsoever. I think the people at the Caldwell County High School really wanted us because we had had a winning basketball team, and we had several of the young men were going to be able to go and play basketball, and in fact they did, and that year Caldwell County did go to the state football championship with some of these black young men. First time they'd ever played football, so they went out there, and Caldwell County was put on the map once again. Princeton and Caldwell County was put on the state map once again for having a good sports program. So I think with the guys being able to play basketball and then just walking on out there playing football had a lot to do with it. And everything went very smooth. I'm sure we didn't hear any negative, and I'm sure somebody had some negative along the way. But we went to school there. We learned to respect the new system. And it was, the change was kind of difficult for us, being grouped in classes in Dotson School, where they had grades 1 through 12, but in two, in one room it would be two grades, you know, like first and second, 9 and 10, and so forth. But getting there, the change, going from class to class. We did go change rooms at Dotson, but when we got to Caldwell, it was, we had things to work with, like a chemistry lab. I took chemistry that year. I was very excited. We had office machine business classes. We had the office machines there at Dotson. We hadn't been exposed to any of those things, so it was a new experience for us. I only wish I could have gone more than 1 year now that I look back on it.
Well, you were talking about the books and the equipment there. What about your books and your equipment at Dotson before you got home?
Okay, the books were hand-me-down books from Caldwell County. My book might have had all the pages, but say if you and Chris were students there, your book might not have all the pages. So they were hand-me-down books from Caldwell. When I was first year in high school, we had to purchase our books, you know, but then later on during that time, they would just give us their hand-me-down books. They would be so outdated and all that. I wish I could just have one of the books or something to show you, but everything was outdated. Things were handed down to us from the other schools here in Caldwell County.
When you got to Caldwell County, what were some of the other classes that you had?
Well, at Dotson, we were offered just the basics, like English, algebra, math, history, things like health, PE, things like that. So alternating years, you know, 1 year, I might have missed a year because we alternated there. Like 1 year we would study, maybe if I was in the 10th grade, we'd be studying the 9th grade curriculum. So I might have somewhere down the line missed something. But when we got to Caldwell, we were able to pick and choose what classes we wanted to take. Some of them took art. I took some business classes and chemistry and things like that. We were able to go to lab. In fact, I think some of them even enrolled in band that year, not having band at Caldwell. I mean, at Dotson. So we were just able to sit down and pick. Someone came over from the school prior to the fall, getting ready for the fall, and helped us select the classes that we wanted to take and sort of guide us through that process.
Did you have any kind of racial tensions between the teachers at the Caldwell County High?
If we did, if it was, it was never displayed there. I'm sure it was. There was rumors that one of the teachers quit because he didn't want to teach the black kids, but it was, that's strictly a rumor. I know nothing about that. But it was no tension whatsoever the first day. Our parents didn't even go to school with us the first day of integration. I'm sure somebody was watching out for us and probably they had some parents watching after them, but everything was very peaceful in those days.
What kind of instructions did your parents give you just before you went to Caldwell?
Well, they just told us to do our best and the main thing was to go and behave. And of course, you know, there's going to be some on both sides that's going to misbehave. They're going to call names and whatsoever. But I wasn't confronted with any of that.
Did you have any kind of trouble with any of the students there?
Well, you know, boys and girls are going to be boys and girls no matter what color they are. And there was a few fights, but we had a principal at Caldwell County High School that he didn't play favorites to nobody. Whatever color you were, you'd get just punishment out of that.
What was your principal's name?
The late William F. Brown.
After you got to Caldwell County, did you have any black teachers?
No. The black teachers that were in the high school system, I think they were reassigned in the lower grades here at Dawson School, but no, it was no black faculty there whatsoever.
Did you have any kind of black history classes?
No. None at all.
Can you remember your favorite class?
At Caldwell County, my favorite class. Not really. I think that year I really enjoyed having all of them, being exposed to things that I hadn't. And if I had to pick, I would say the government class I took that year was one of them, would probably be my favorite class.
Well, did you hear anything? Did they incorporate any kind of black history into their classes? Any
no,
of the teachers?
Because they didn't know anything about black history.
Was there any kind of conflict with the city, you know, the commissioners or the mayor or anything? Did anybody put up any kind of argument about the black students?
No. It passed unanimous when the parents carried down the signature, and I think it was 22 or 23 parents that signed the petition and presented it to the school board, that it just went over real well. I do know that the petition was circulated in the churches and places here in the city, and I think it was like 22 parents that went down, or 22 parents and guardians that went down and carried and signed that and carried it to the school board. So there was no problem whatsoever. Like I said earlier, sports had a lot to do with that.
Well, when did the black teachers get into Caldwell County?
It was later when the entire system closed, when they closed Dyson School forever, and I think that was in the later on in the 60s. So we went there in the fall of 63 at the high school, and it was 3 or 4 years later, and then they started taking their aides, and some of their teachers were reassigned to within the Caldwell County school system. There was none in the high school for a while, but most of them were reassigned to the elementary and junior high levels in the system.
Well, how did your community feel about losing the black school law, the predominantly black school law?
It was never discussed, but I think they felt that, I'm sure, like I said, we didn't hear the negative. You know, at that time, we had a group of parents, of citizens, that kept the negative from their children. If it was any negative, it was discussed away from the children. So I'm saying it was probably some negative, but when the entire system was integrated, I was not here. I was away in school. So. But we do know that we did. We had, they went to aid positions, and to guidance counselor position and some teachers.
Well, did you all have a local NAACP at that time?
I think we did, and I'm not really sure. We have had NAACP, but right now we don't. And at that time, we probably did. But I'm saying that the parents were, the parents were the ones that motivated it.
Well, can you think of anything else that you want to tell me about your school? Or?
Yeah, well, during that time, that year, the first years, we had a separate prom, okay? At the high school, they had a party. Usually the juniors and seniors have a prom. That year, they had a little party, a little get-together for the juniors and seniors at one of the high schools. But they had a, and then the white people, and I hate to use that term, had a prom for their children, and our parents got together and had us a prom. They rented a building, the local Masonic Hall. They had us a band, and we put on our evening gowns just like we were going, and they had us a prom too. So we had a prom, and like I said, our parents got together and talked it over, and they pooled their money to do whatever it was to make us happy.
That's real interesting.
I need to tell you also about what happened to Dr. Nelson. Well, after full integration, Dr. School became a workshop for handicapped people, and it burned. And now it's now Far Fair Playground. The city gave it back to us in 1980 or 81, I'm not sure, for the community to have a park and playground. At first, they were going to build houses there, and it's only one house there, but now it's a park and playground, and it's governed by the black community. They have their own park board of directors, which I am the secretary to the park board, and we run the park. The city pays for the upkeep, but we govern, you know, what happens.
So what kind of city government do y'all have? City commissioners or?
We have city council, mayor and city council type.
Oh, okay. So this comes under the mayor and city council?
Mayor and city council. Right now we have 7 members, and when somebody decides to get off or somebody, I hate to say it, passes away, with the recommendation of the park board, the present park board of directors, they recommend somebody, and they present that name to the city council and the mayor, and they act upon it. Okay, then every August, first full weekend in August, everybody that ever went to Dyson School, whether they graduated or not, comes back for a reunion and bring their family. So this has been going on for 20 years.
You have the food and all out like
that. They have the band. They give the city officials come up, and the city they'll give a key to the city to somebody from the community. It used to be a Dyson student, but they kind of strayed away. The Dyson students come back, and one of them will respond to the mayor and the judge executive. Welcome. So they present, they commission people into the band night. The county judge has one called the Grand Ole Night, and then some of us have been commissioned as Kentucky Colonels during that ceremony. And in 1988, I was commissioned a Kentucky Colonel during that celebration. And I'd like to say that when we get together now, I get together with my class. Last year we celebrated our 35th class reunion. And being the only girl, I've been to 2 of them. Being the only girl, I always get a lot of welcome. And last year in 1999, of course, we celebrated our 35th year. And we went out and had a wonderful evening with my classmates. So it's always, Pat George, are you coming to the reunion? And I'll say, yes, no, maybe. They'll even offer to come and pick me up, so I'll go to make sure I get there. But the class as a whole turned out to the Alliance class.
This is black students and white students.
Yes, it's a reunion. Each class now, they ask their black students to come back to have a reunion.
Oh, that's
good. When I was in school, the Dawson School used to be a school for the surrounding counties. Like, people came here from Katy, Marion, Hopkinsville, Fredonia, and around to school. But then later on, they got their own black school system. So when I was in school, nobody came from Katy's or Hopkinsville. They did come from Fredonia, which is in Caldwell County, and Cobb, but it was nobody there from Marion during my years of, maybe at the early years when I was in the grade school, it was. But then later on, they started getting their own school, and wasn't too many there.
So you were the only female in your whole senior class?
In the black senior class. When I started out in the first grade at Dawson, it was several young ladies. Some of them moved away. And others, I think one or two of them might have died. And then as we got to the high school years, we had the young ladies to drop out. So when I was in the eighth grade, and from the sixth grade to the eighth grade, it was only two of us. And then we got to the eighth grade, she dropped in. So that just left me the only female with five young men. But in the state, like I told you, it was two classes. So one year I was with three girls. And then one year I was with four girls, you know, at Dawson. But when it got to Caldwell, I was the only single black senior.
Do you think that the females in your community, maybe your mothers, your aunts, or grandmothers, what kind of part did they play in this elimination of segregation?
Well, I got to say that the time my grandmother raised us, so my grandmother was getting up in the years, but she didn't have anything to, you know, negative to say, but they played a lot. My aunt, which was the late Mrs. Ophelia Groom, she went to the meeting, you know, and her daughter, Purvis Bishop, they went to the meeting. So to see what was going on. So my family was very supportive. The day I graduated, they were there. And it was just, they were supportive of all the things, you know. They made sure we had the things that we needed to work with at school. You know, there's no question about can you get it, because my aunt worked for some of the people in the school system, some of the white people in the school system. So therefore, she knew who to call and to finance. There was no question about it. They supported us whatsoever.
Can you tell me who was one of your civil rights heroes?
What, in Princeton or just
in Princeton or nationally, anywhere? One that, you know, you all maybe looked up to or talked about a lot in school, in your class among yourselves, black students.
Well,
you got a local one here?
No, I don't have a local one, but we looked to somebody just down the road in Paducah. Was a man named Curly Brown who was active in NAACP and things to get things moving in Paducah in that area. So I guess you would say Curly Brown could be somebody on the maybe local level. But Martin Luther King, because, and Rosa Parks, you know, they would come out and just be bold about doing things.
Did any of them ever come by
Princeton? No.
They travel a lot. Tell me a little bit about your church. Were there any kind of activities at church or any kind of meetings maybe on civil rights? Are you all going to school or anything with any kind of meetings?
No, there were no meetings about anything. just like those petitions were the only things that were circulated in the black churches or in the black community. There were places in the city that blacks weren't welcome, you know, downtown. For instance, it was a place called the Dairy Bar. And until later, you know, we couldn't go in the Dairy Bar. We'd have to go to the side window and get what we wanted. But once when the school got integrated, we could go and sit in these places. But at first, at the theater, there was a separate entrance for the theater. At the theater for blacks, we'd have to go through this door and go upstairs. But once the school system became, you know, integrated and they knew, we were allowed to go downstairs, what they call downstairs. But then some of us continued to go upstairs and we got a good view of what was going on.
Well, were there any all black theaters here in the...
No. At doing, after the early 50s and my research on black history in Caldwell County, a lot of the black business had began to disappear. So, you know, things were mainly owned by white people. But here in Princeton, like the black businesses had gone out.
Can you remember any of the black businesses that were here?
That were here when I was...
In the early 50s or before?
Before, now in my research, this is not to my knowledge, we used to have black newspapers, okay? And that disappeared, I think the last issue of that was in the 50s. And then we had had a funeral home. We had a black daycare. We have a black daycare now. But had a black kindergarten, a lady owned the black kindergarten, and funeral home, kindergarten, ice cream parlors, plenty of restaurants. And some, in doing that research, somebody said they had a hat shop here. And so it was just, at one time, Princeton, the black people in Princeton did thrive. I was told that downtown it was a black hotel, but I don't know anything about that. And still today, some of the buildings downtown are owned by black people, but they're descendants. And they don't live here.
Well, can you think of anything else that you want to tell me? The petition being signed, and I'm sure the people that got together to do that had a good reason why not to tell us. And integration, like I said, it just happened, but I had some fears of what was going to happen when I got to Caldwell County High School, what some of those white girls that I had some of their hand-me-down clothes going to recognize their clothes, but they didn't. If they did,
They didn't say anything about it. They turned out to be good friends, and they're still good friends with us. Some of them are. And I got to say that it was a lady here during that time, the late Mrs. Eloise Jagger. She was the librarian at the time, and she made sure the black kids knew what books to buy and what to do when they got to school. So you can say Mrs. Jaggers, along with Mr. Brown, kind of made things smoother for the black students. And so you had to give credit to anybody for making the integration, the transition, not integration, the transition from an all-black school to a white, in now newly integrated white school. You have to say with those two people.
Now, when did you find out that you were going to this school?
After the petition had been signed and came out in the local newspaper, and they told us at school that, you know, and then some of the officials from the school system came over and brought us selection sheets of what classes that were offered and what we could take as sophomores, juniors, seniors, and whatsoever. I also wanted to say that Dotson just began. We had a gym at our school, but the white boys came up and practiced their basketball in our gym. And our boys would have to wait until after they got through and go back. They were probably gone. They went home and come back and practiced basketball later. And the white boys would be running through there, and we're getting out of school at 3 o'clock to use our gym. But then when we got a good basketball team, they were able to go down and the last year that we were at Dotson, they were able to go down and play some of their games in the Caldwell County gym. And the gym would be packed with both colors, both races.
Okay, now the white students would come over and practice with this before you all integrated?
Before integration. They'd come through there every afternoon. We'd be getting ready to come home. They'd run through there with their little basketball uniforms on, the practice ball in our gym, because for a while they had an old gym and they didn't have a nice gym. So we had a good gym at Dotson, and they came over and practiced basketball every day.
Did they play any of their games in your office? Now, how did you all get to school, to the Caldwell?
To the Caldwell County High School, we walked.
Was it very far?
Not that far, but I can tell you how we did it. We walked in groups. Okay, being at the end of this street, my sister and I would walk down the street, and as we go down the street, more people would join us. And we have our little meeting places. So when we left here, it was some more children that lived across the street. We'd all start out, and we would walk down. This is Diamond Street, down Diamond Street. More we got there, and then when we got to Green Street, there at the church, the preacher's daughter would join us and others, and we walked to school in groups. And there was more groups than our group, but we all walked to school in groups. We came home in groups, but this was nothing like racially motivated. This was just friends getting together, walking to school. But when I was at Dotson, we walked to Dotson. Everybody walked except the children that lived in the county. So Dotson School was within walking distance. We didn't even have a school bus. We had people that transported the students from the county in their private vehicles. So, and then earlier I was told that some of the county people that lived in the county had to walk into town to school. But no, we just walked to school, and it was fun. And we discussed what went on during the day or what had gone on. But it was fun, no matter how cold. Now, when it did rain and we'd get to school and snow, and we'd be there without an umbrella or whatever, some of the parents would get together, and those that had cars, not many people during the early 60s in this community had vehicles like everybody's got one or two now. And they would get together, and somebody would pick us up and bring us home if we were that got caught there, you know. But if it rained in the morning, you know, somebody did.
Well, when you were at Kentucky State, tell me about, did you all have any kind of civil organizations like SNCC or CORE?
No. At Kentucky State, there were no civil organizations whatsoever. Like I said, it was quiet time there at Kentucky State, and it was only a very few white students. And in fact, I lived in Kentucky Hall, and I don't think it was a black female, I mean a white female that lived in that hall. And I think most of them lived there in the Frankfort area or commuted from Lexington and Louisville or somewhere. But it was only very few white people there. Very few white instructors there also. Dotson did play Caldwell in basketball prior to the integration. And there was never any, you know, tension whatsoever between the players. And among the fans, probably not, because it was a good rivalry. And Darryl, when it started, well, got to say that the Dotson guys were good basketball players, most of them, even the ones that went on to graduate and play for, or graduate and play for Caldwell. But they did come out, shake hands, and they became good friends. When they got to Caldwell, they played basketball and they came in. And there at one time, I remember one night, it was five, for Caldwell County, it was five black boys out there playing. And then, of course, they substituted a couple of the good white players in there. But at one time, it was five black fellows out there playing, representing. But the team there, they had a balanced team that year, both black and white.
Did you have any black cheerleaders?
And not at doing at Dotson, we did. When we got to Caldwell, no, that we didn't have any black cheerleaders until later on. And then they started with black cheerleaders, and nobody was black in the band. When I was there, it took a couple of 3 years to get them into the band. We were able to join some of the clubs, you know, they had at the school. And now I think it's open to just any, you know, everybody, because they have black band students, they have black cheerleaders, and the blacks participate these days in anything that's offered there that they want to get into.
Well, Mrs. George, I want to thank you for letting me interview you, and this has really been a pleasant interview.